لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد We are upon babun aw babu man la yarhamu la yurham in our book Al-Adab Al-Mufrad by Al-Imam Al-Bukhari rahimahullah said babu man la yarhamu la yurham the chapter regarding the fact that man la yarham Whoever is not merciful, la yurham, he will not be shown mercy. We read in it the hadith of Sa'd ibn Malik, ibn Sinan, Abu Sa'id al-Khudri. We followed it with the hadith of Yusuf al-Ummah, Jarir ibn Abdullah al-Bajali, radiyallahu anhu. And then with the hadith that was reported by Jarir was repeated in number 97. But as we explained in the last class, it appears that Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported from Muhammad ibn Salam, his eminent Sheikh Abu Abdullah al-Bikandi. He reported three narrations from him in a single sitting. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, what he has done here between hadith number 96, 97 and 98, he had reported it from a single teacher, Muhammad ibn Salam al-Bikandi, Abu Abdullah. So that was why he will say in hadith number 97, وَعَنْ عَبْدَ ibn Sulaiman al-Marwazi. Abda ibn Sulaiman al-Marwazi, meaning that he, al-Bukhari rahimahullah, reported from Muhammad ibn Salam, that was the first hadith, wa an abda, that is, had Muhammad ibn Salam reported to him also from Abda. The same thing applies on hadith number 98, wa an abda. So Muhammad ibn Salam reported two hadith from Abda. And Abda is Abda ibn Sulaiman al-Marwazi. So in hadith number 98, which is the hadith with which we will be starting the class today, Muhammad ibn Salam said, wa an Abda. Also, he has reported from Abda. That means, haddathana Muhammad ibn Salam an Abda. That is hadith number 98. So it says, wa an Abda. عن هشام بن عروة عن أبيه عن عائشة رضي الله عنها قالت أتى النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم من الأعراب فقال له رجل منهم يا رسول الله أتقبلون الصبيان فوالله ما نقبلهم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم أو أملك إن كان الله نزع من قلبك رحمة أو أملك إن كان الله نزع من قلبك الرحمة This is hadith number 98 and we had read a similar hadith to that previously that was when the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم was challenged by or was asked by one of the people. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam was asked by one of the desert Arabs, "Atuqabbiluna as-sibyan," which is one of the symbols of mercy. All of these ahadith that we had read under this chapter, they show that as Muslims, we must be people who show mercy to people. We must be people who show mercy to others. Man la yarham, la yurham. The one who does not show mercy will not receive mercy. And we have also learned from those narrations, like this hadith of kissing children, we had mentioned it earlier. One of the blessings, one of the benefits, points of benefits from that hadith is that if a person is merciful and kind, it has manifestation. There are ways, there are things that he will do, and you will recognize that this person is merciful. And when a person does that, yarhamuhullah, Allah will show his special mercy to him. We also explain that. That the mercy that is mentioned in these ahadith that Allah will show to the person who is merciful is the special mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Otherwise, every creature enjoys the mercy of Allah. But the mercy that the individual who is specially kind to others, who is merciful to others and compassionate towards them will receive, is the special mercy from Allah as a means of rewarding his own mercifulness too. So we explained this in the last class. So we are trying to say that showing mercy is one of the manifestations of a person's being merciful, and it is not restricted to human beings alone. Islam enjoins us to be merciful to every creature of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We remember in the Quran, Allah mentions the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. He says, وَمَا رُسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ. We have not sent you, O Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam, except that you are a means of mercy to all that exists, every creature. The Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam is a means of mercy to him. And that's why even animals that we slaughter for food, like the sheep, the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam still encourages us to be merciful to them. One of the things that shows the person's mercy in his heart is that even when he slaughters his animal, he shows mercy to that animal during slaughtering. One of the ways of showing mercy to an animal during slaughtering is, as he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, our razors should be well sharpened, and then the animals should be well positioned. So he would say, alayhi salatu wasalam, فَإِذَا ذَبَحْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الزِّبْحَ. When you slaughter, your manner of slaughtering, فَأَحْسِنُوا الزِّبْحَ. Make it in a nice, easy manner. Show mercy to the animal. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged us to show mercy to animals a lot. If we go to Silsilatu al-Ahadith al-Sahiha by al-Imam Muhammad Nasiruddin al-Albani, from about hadith number 20, from the beginning, from hadith number 20 to about 15-16 hadith after that, he was mentioning various statements from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that encourage us to show mercy to animals. In this book itself, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, that we read, one day a companion was slaughtering a sheep, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was passing by. His companion calls the Prophet, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, should I show mercy to this one too? He was slaughtering a sheep. So, but because the Prophet would always, alayhi salatu wasalam, encourage the Muslims to be merciful, this companion called the Prophet, Messenger of Allah, should I be merciful to this one? And the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, washa'atu, in rahimtaha rahimakallah, washa'atu. Even a sheep, a goat, a ram, a cow, a camel, a cattle, all of these animals, in rahimtaha, if you show mercy to them, rahimakallah, Allah will be merciful to you. So if the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam would encourage us to show mercy to animals, the lower animals, how about human beings? We should be merciful to the people. Once the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in Medina, and he passed by the masjid and found that a camel was tied to the masjid. That camel that was tied to the masjid was just there and it was looking hungry. So the Prophet passed and walked away, alayhi salatu wasalam. So the Prophet came again in the later part of the noon. the first journey was during the morning. He passed by, saw the animal. This animal is hungry. In the later part of the noon, he came again and passed by. He saw the animal still tied there and looking hungry. The Prophet said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Aina sahibu hadha al-ba'ir? Where is the owner of this camel? Fabtugiya falam yujad. This man began, people began to search for him, falam yujad. And they did not find the companion who owns that animal. And then the Prophet shouted to the people, alayhi salatu salam. He called out to the people, alayhi salatu salam, اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم. اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم الجمع. اتقوا الله. You people should fear Allah. The people should fear Allah في هذه البهائم. Regarding these animals, these riding animals, المعجمة. They have ujma. They cannot speak when they are hungry. When they need water, they cannot say, provide me water. When they are sick, they cannot say, provide me medicine, I am sick. So fear Allah regarding them. If we must fear Allah regarding animals that are, like he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, al-baha'im, al-mu'jama, these are our riding animals that cannot even say words, that cannot even express themselves. How about a human being who can tell you that he is hungry? How about a human being who can tell you that he's feeling he needs water to drink? How about a human being who can tell you that he is sick? If we are commanded in Islam to fear Allah, he said, alayhi salatu wasalam, اتقوا الله في هذه البهائم المعجمة. Fear Allah regarding these riding animals that cannot say a word. And then he said, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, says, Farkabuha Salihata. When you ride them in a nice way. Farkabuha. When you ride these animals, Farkabuha Salihata. Ride them in a nice manner. Wakiluha Salihata. When you also tie them, when you leave them and you are not riding them. Make that be upon niceness. When you are riding, ride nicely. When you are not riding, you keep them somewhere. Make that keeping also be a good keeping. Ride them in a nice way. Keep them in a nice way. These are animals that cannot speak. Neither can they express themselves and say to us that they are in a negative and uncomfortable situation. How about a human being who can tell you that he is hungry? He is sad, he is all of these. So these are things that we must pay attention to as Muslims. Be merciful to the creatures of Allah. Because man la yarhamu, la yurham. The one who does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. The one who does not show compassion will not be shown compassion. The one who does not show pity will not be shown pity. So when you go to some of the states, like those of our brothers in Lagos, sorry to say Lagos, but this is a practical example I'm giving. And it's the reason I have mentioned Lagos. They say, there is no mercy, there is no showing mercy and compassion to any person here in Lagos. If people say that, the Muslim should not say that. Because this earth belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And his preordainment in it is that everybody, his legal preordainment in it is that everybody should be merciful to the next person. So show mercy so that Allah will be merciful to you. So if you say, Kosojo anule koi, what you are saying is that if you say, oh, in Lagos, there is no showing mercy, there is no being compassionate, what you are saying is that Allah should remove his mercy and compassion from the people of Lagos. I'm sure nobody will say that. May Allah protect all of us and show his mercy and compassion to all of us. But I'd like to also mention a point before we move to the next hadith. That point is that because we are talking about our children, because we are talking about our relatives, we should not misunderstand the fact that when discipline requires, when it is required that a person, maybe a wife or a child, undergoes discipline,
we should not say, oh, why are you not merciful? Why are you not compassionate? The mercy when we should be disciplined, when we should show some sort of discipline, the mercy is the discipline in that circumstance. If a child requires that he or she is disciplined appropriately, that discipline is a show of mercy in the circumstance. If a wife desires that she should be disciplined, that discipline is a show of mercy in that circumstance. Because if you leave that child or you leave the wife in the circumstance without discipline, like the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you leave your wife without showing good discipline to you, discipline does not mean that you have to pick him to flog her alone. It may bring about that. Because there are clear cut texts in the Quran and the Hadith that shows that the case with a woman can lead to that. There are clear cut texts. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke to the entirety of humanity, alayhi salatu wasalam, why did I say entirety of humanity? Because he said on that occasion that those who are here, فَلْيُبَلِّغْ أَشَّاهِدُ الْغَائِبِ, those who are present should inform those who are absent. So that information is for the entirety of mankind. And the messenger has been told in the Quran, لِتُمْ ذَرَبِهِ وَمَنْ بَلَغْ, you should warn by means of the Quran and those that the message of the Quran will reach later. So the messenger was talking to all of us. When he warned women that they should not bring into their homes people that their husbands do not like, he said, فَإِنْ فَأَلْنَا, when women do that, فَضْرِبُوا هُنَّا, beat them. This is a clear cut text. When a woman brings into the home of her husband people that her husbands do not like, of course, that would have been after several warnings, that like the ones Allah mentioned in the Quran, فَعِذُوا هُنَّا, make good morals up to your wife when she becomes discordant. When a woman becomes not listening at home, give her good mawaidha. After periods of mawaidha, wahjuruhunna fil mawajih, avoid her staying with her on her bed. Stay away from her bed. So someone can come and say, oh, you are staying away from my bed, when a woman becomes recalcitrant at home. You are staying away from my bed. Did Allah not say, show mercy? The mercy in the circumstance here, so that she corrects that negative attitude over which she is being shown discipline. The mercy here is that she should be left upon her bed alone. The husband should move away from the bed. So this means that these issues of showing mercy in the different circumstances will have different implications. We have different manifestations. I'm just trying to say, I don't want the situation to be exploited. That when a child is disciplined, the woman begins to say to the husband, why are you not merciful? When the situation requires discipline as is appropriate, good and appropriate discipline should be employed, whether regarding our children or regarding our wives or even regarding our husbands. The husband may become the nashis at home, the one who foments the trouble at home, and he requires some sort of discipline. Look for those that he will listen to, tell them so that he is disciplined as is appropriate. He may be disciplined as is appropriate. Of course, that is after a lot of discussions at home. My husband, stop this kind of a negative attitude. Stop this kind of a negative attitude. Stop this kind of a negative attitude. Maybe the husband, may Allah protect all of us, he took to drinking, he took to leaving salah, he took to being unnecessarily harsh and all of this. He can be admonished. Good steps too may be taken. That is the mercy in that circumstance. But basically, even in that, some mothers are there when they beat their children. Mothers beat their children. May Allah protect all of us. When a child deserves to be given a cane, there is nothing in the deen. We shall come back to that. We shall come back to the issues of handling children in terms of discipline. There are ahadith regarding that in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. So some of the women, when they have to show some discipline to the children, do now begin to beat them as if they want to kill the child. They want to hurt the child. I will break your hand. I will kill you today. I will beat you today. This is not a good approach. This is an approach that is bereft of mercy, even in the discipline of our wives, or in the discipline of our husbands, or in the discipline of our children, as the case may be. Let us not remove mercy from all of what we do. Just like the companion who was slaughtering an animal, mercy does not stop him from slaughtering the animal for food. So no one should say, you want to show mercy to the animal, then don't slaughter the animal. No, slaughter the animal, but slaughter it appropriately. Likewise, discipline the child, discipline the wife, discipline your husband as is appropriate, but do that while still showing mercy. This is a point I think it's also necessary for us to emphasize. We can move to hadith number 99 today, inshallah. And Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported that hadith from his Shaykh Abu Nu'man. Abu Nu'man was a pious, very learned and pious scholar from amongst the scholars of Islam. Al-Imam al-Bukhari said, Haddathana Abu Nu'man, Haddathana Hamad ibn Zayd, an Asim an Abi Uthman, anna Umar radiyallahu anhu, ista'mala rajulan, faqala al-amil, إن لي كذا وكذا من الولد ما قبلت واحدا منهم فزعم عمر أو قال عمر رضي الله عنه إن الله عز وجل لا يرحم من عباده إلا أبرهم إن الله عز وجل لا يرحم من عباده إلا أبرهم. Abu Nu'man is the one from whom Al-Imam al-Bukhari reported this hadith. He reported from Abu Ismail al-Basri, Hammad ibn Zayd. Hammad ibn Zayd was an imam from the imams of Sunnah, from the imams of Hadith, from the imams of Fiqh, from the imams of Sunnah, Hammad ibn Zayd, Abu Ismail al-Basri. He was reporting from his teacher Asim ibn Sulaiman al-Ahwal. Asim ibn Sulaiman al-Ahwal, and he is reporting from Abu Uthman. Abu Uthman is Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. It's from amongst the Tabi'un who were very popular with their kunya or with their kuna. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. But Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, his name is Abdurrahman ibn Mal. Abdurrahman ibn Mal. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi was also a mukhadram. He was also a mukhadram. In the last class, we mentioned one of the mukhadramun, Qais ibn Abi Hazim. Qais ibn Abi Hazim was the mukhadram we mentioned in the last class. In today's class, the mukhadram we are mentioning is Abu Uthman al-Nahdi. Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, Abdurrahman ibn Mal. Who are the mukhadramun? The Mukhadramun are individuals who accepted Islam during the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam, but they did not get the favor of coming to meet the Prophet for one reason or the other. In the case of Qais ibn Abi Hazim, he came and only met the janazah of the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam. But as for Abu Uthman al-Nahdi, he came and met the death of Abu Bakr al-Siddiq, meaning that he came 2 years after the Prophet had passed away sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though he had accepted Islam before the Prophet himself died. So another mukhadram in this hadith is who? Abu Uthman al-Nahdi is the one reporting from who? Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu anhu, that Umar radiyallahu anhu ista'mala rajulan. Umar radiyallahu anhu gave a man an assignment in a city, ista'malahu. He appointed him over some of the affairs of the people. Faqala al-amil, this man who was appointed to take care of the affairs of the people in a particular area, maybe to go and collect zakah, maybe to go and establish a recording for them, he sent him a message regarding a people. This man said, "Inna li kaza wa kaza min al-walad. I have so and so number of children. Ma qabbaltu wahidan minhum. I never kissed anyone amongst my children." We mentioned that kissing our children, hugging them,
and keeping them to ourselves is from the manifestations of what? Ar-Rahma in the heart of the individual. Fazama Umar radiallahu anhu. But that companion, that tabi'i said, he, as for him, this person who was talking to Umar, who was appointed by Umar, he said, as for him, never kissed any of his children. For the early Muslims, that is a signal of little mercy in the heart of the one who says that. It's a signal for this person. Are you a merciful person? So when a person doesn't do things like this, there's a question mark about how compassionate that person is, how kind-hearted he is. There's a question mark. So there are manifestations. The same way when you see somebody slaughtering an animal violently, it's a manifestation of little mercy in his heart. May Allah protect all of us. Umar radiallahu anhu then said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْحَمُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ إِلَّا أَبَرَّهُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْحَمُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ إِلَّا أَبَرَّهُ Allah will not, لَا يَرْحَمُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ He will not show mercy to those amongst his servants. Allah will not show mercy to people amongst his servants illa abarrahum, except those who are dutiful to people. And from the aspect of dutifulness to children is to show mercy to the children. When you are dutiful to the people, when you show mercy to the people, when you show compassion to the people, when you are kind to the people, Allah will show mercy to you. If you want mercy, be merciful. If you want mercy, be merciful. Like we mentioned earlier, one of the scholars drew a major point regarding this from Surah Al-Lay. He said, when Allah says, فَأَمَّا مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى مَنْ أَعْطَى وَاتَّقَى Whoever gives, whoever extends the hands of charity, وَاتَّقَى And while doing that, he does it upon ikhlas. التَّقْوَى هُنَا الْإِخْلَاسِ وَأَمَّامًا أَعْطَى As for the one who gives, وَاتَّقَى And he is sincere while he gives. When you show mercy sincerely for the sake of Allah, not to be praised by the people, not to gain popularity, that's not the reason. Except if it is shown, if it becomes popular to encourage others to do things like that. But if it is just for the purpose of having an applaud from the people, having encomium from the people, this will not gain any rewards from Allah. So that's why Allah placed that condition. When he gave, as he was giving, he was handing out short charity, he was consciously fearful of Allah. He made his intention purely for Allah. What did he say? وَصَدَّقَ بِالْحُسْنَى And he is hopeful that Allah will reward him in Al-Jannah. That is Al-Husna. He gave in charity out of what? A class and hoping to be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What did he say? فَسَنُ يَسِّرُهُ لِلْيُسْرَى We will make things easy for him. We will make his path upon the right path easy for him. So as he made things easy for that person for the sake of Allah, no yasiruhu yisra. We will make things easy for him too. If he makes things easy for the people, Allah will make things easy for him. If you show mercy to the people, Allah will show mercy to you. If you are kind to the people, Allah will show kindness. When you are in a difficulty, look for a way of being nice to the people. Allah will show niceness to you. Allah will show you his special kindness to Allah. He will forgive you yourself. He will raise your rank. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter how sinful you may be, if you are merciful to people, Allah will show mercy to you. And perhaps from his mercy to you will be that he will guide you unto sincere repentance from the sin that you commit. May Allah forgive all of us. So show mercy to the people and Allah will be merciful to you. This is the main lesson in this part of our class. Umar radiallahu anhu told that person, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَرْحَمُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ إِلَّا أَبَرَّهُ Allah will not show mercy to his servants, except those amongst them, أَبَرُّهُمْ In this case, those who are most kind, those who are most compassionate to the people, These are the people that will also receive kindness and mercy from Allah subhanahu. I think this hadith number 99 is clear. And the chapter heading is also clear. Be merciful and Allah will be merciful to you. The mercifulness is not restricted to human beings. As we have seen in those other hadith that we read. The Prophet said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَشَاءَتْ إِنْ رَحِمْتَ. Even a sheep, a goat, a ram, إِنْ رَحِمْتَ. If you are merciful to them, رَحِمَكَ. Allah will be merciful to you. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be merciful to us. Now all of these mercies that we all enjoy amongst human beings, amongst the genes, amongst the creatures, all these mercies that we have, it is just one part of the 99 part of the mercy that Allah has made. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. The mercy that Allah has made, just a part of it is the one that the entirety of the creatures share. He has kept 99. May Allah make us from those who will enter Al-Jannah. It should be a lot of mercy. It should be a lot of mercy. If the entirety of us only share one from the parts of mercy that Allah has created to be 100, how about the 99? How will the 99 others be? So Imam al-Bukhari took a hadith, a chapter heading, and said, Babu ar-Rahmatu mi'ati juz'in. Aw ar-Rahmatu mi'atu juz'in. Mercy. Mercy ar-Rahmatu mi'atu juz'in. Mercy occurs in 100 parts. Ar-Rahmat. It occurs in 100 parts. And he took that hadith from his Shaykh al-Hakam ibn Nafi'. So he said, Rahimahullah, Haddathana al-Hakam ibn Nafi', Qala akhbarana Shu'ib an al-Zuhri, Qala akhbarana Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib, Anna Aba Huraira radiyallahu anhu, Qala, Samitu Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam yaqul, Ja'ala Allahu azza wa jalla rahmata mi'ata juz'in. جعل الله عز وجل الرحمة مئة جزء فأمسك عنده 99 وأنزل في الأرض جزءا واحدا فمن ذلك الجزء يتراحم الخلق حتى ترفع الفرس حافرها أو ولدها خشية أن تصيبه عليه الصلاة والسلام جعل الله الرحمة مئة جزء جعل الله الرحمة مئة جزء فأمسك عنده 99 وأنزل في الأرض جزءا واحدا فمن ذلك الجزء يتراحم الخلق حتى ترفع الفرس حافرها أو ولدها خشية أن تصيبه. The Prophet said صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم, Imam al-Bukhari reported that hadith from his Shaykh al-Hakam ibn Nafi', that is Abu al-Yaman. If we go back to this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, we had read a number of hadiths from his Shaykh Abu al-Yaman, and he is al-Hakam ibn Nafi'. Qala akhbarana Shu'ayb. This Shu'ayb is reporting from al-Imam al-Zuhri. Al-Imam al-Zuhri is Muhammad ibn Muslim. الزهري قال أخبرنا سعيد بن المسيب. الإمام الزهري is reporting from سعيد بن المسيب. This is the report of a tabi'i from another tabi'i. Imam al-Zuhri is a tabi'i, that is a companion of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He's a student of the companions. The students of the companions are referred to as what? Tabi'un. Al-Imam al-Zuhri was one of them, but he is a young tabi'i. He only met very, very few companions, a handful, less than five, by Al-Imam al-Zuhri. So they will report ahadith from the older ones amongst them who met many companions, like Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is usually referred to as Sayyidu tabi'i wa alimuhum, the leader of the tabi'un and one of their most learned ones. Because Sayyid ibn al-Musayyib was very, very learned, rahimahullah. And from the blessings that he had, was that he had a great knowledge of dreams. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib min a'bar al-nas li ru'ya is from among those who make ta'bir of ru'ya, ta'bir, interpretation of dreams. It is one of the areas of specialization by this tabi'i, Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib. So the tabi'un who are younger, they would report a hadith from tabi'un who are older and more knowledgeable. Just like students in a particular class, there are grades, there are more learned, older, more mature students, and they're usually younger students, even though they are in the same class, generally speaking, and category. وَرَفَعْنَا بَعْضَكُمْ فَوْقَ بَعْضٍ دَرَجَاتٍ. Allah has raised each of us above the next group of people. Yes, they are all from the tabi'un, but Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib was more knowledge, was more exposed. He met more companions than al-Imam al-Zuhri. Even though these two are great from amongst the scholars, amongst the tabi'un. So this is a report of tabi'i and tabi'i. This is a report of a tabi'i from another tabi'i, rahimahum Allah. And Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib is reporting from his teacher, Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu. He said, Abu Huraira said radiyallahu anhu, سَمِعْتُ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَعَلِهِ وَسَلَّمَ يَقُولُ. I heard the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam saying that, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِئَةَ جُزْءٍ. جَعَلَ اللَّهُ. Allah made rahmah, mercy. Allah made mercy in 100 parts. This is mercy in terms of the actions of Allah. But in terms of Allah's attribute of being mercy, this one does not have parts. But in terms of the mercy that Allah shows to us, in terms of His actions, it has parts. And this is what we have. It has 100 parts. But mercy in terms of His attribute Himself, like we mentioned, Sifatul Zat, the attribute of His essence. This one, لا تتعدد. This Rahmah does not come in parts. The mercy connected to Allah's Zat itself. Allah has in His Zat, in His essence, Subhanahu wa ta'ala. As He has His eyes, His hands, He has mercy. This mercy does not have part. But when you talk about an action of mercy, Allah has mercy too, which is from the attributes of His actions. This one has part. And here in this hadith, the messenger of Allah, sent by Allah, who knows Allah, says that this mercy is divided into 100 parts. He says, جَعَلَ اللَّهُ الرَّحْمَةَ مِئَةَ جُزْءٍ. Allah has made Rahmah to be in 100 parts. فَأَمْسَكَ إِنْدَهُ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ. He kept 99 with himself. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَنْزَلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ جُزْءًا وَاحِدًا. أَنْزَلَ فِي الْأَرْضِ. He made to come down to the earth. He sent down to the earth جُزْءًا وَاحِدًا. Only a single part of the 100. In a riwayah of this, it says, أَنْزَلَ بَيْنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ. بَيْنَ الْجِنِّ وَالْإِنْسِ وَالْبَهَائِمِ. Amongst the jinns, amongst human beings, and amongst the lower animals, all other animals, all of us, we are sharing this one part of the 99, of the 100. One part of the 100 is what we share from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَمِنْ ذَلِكَ الْجُزْءِ. From that single one part, يَتَارَوْحَمُ الْخَلْقِ. The entirety of the creatures, يَتَارَوْحَمُونَ. They make rahmah, they extend and exchange mercy amongst themselves. As merciful as a mother can be to his son or daughter, it is from that one part. All the mothers in the world are as merciful as you can think. We had read the hadith. الْوَالِدَاتِ رَحِيمَاتِ. Mothers are what? Absolutely merciful to their children. Very merciful to their children. As merciful as all the mothers in the world could be. They are all sharing from the one part out of 100.
from the mercy of Allah. Likewise, all the rest of the animals.
The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, from that one part, يَتَارَحَمُ الْخَلْقِ, the entirety of the creatures share from that one part. حَتَّى, so much that تَرْفَعَ الْفَرَسُ حَافِرَهَا أَنْ وَلَدِهَا, تَرْفَعَ الْفَرَسُ حَافِرَهَا أَنْ وَلَدِهَا, the horse, the female horse, الْفَرَس, the horse, تَرْفَعُ حَافِرَهَا, it raises its hoof, its hoof, that is the feet, the end part of the feet of the horse. The horse raises its feet away from its little ones out of that mercy. The major thing a horse does is to race, bam, 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 as fast as the horse can be. It will still show mercy to its little ones. It will not place its hoof, it will not place it upon its little ones. Out of that one, sharing from the one part of 100 parts of mercy that Allah has shown. You see, Allah is so merciful. Subhanahu wa ta'ala. So merciful. Meaning that on the day of Qiyamah, when he says, وَكَانَ بِالْمُؤْمِنِينَ رَحِيمًا, he's going to be absolutely merciful to the believers on the day of Qiyamah. The lot of mercy that the believers will receive on the day. This itself suffices for any person to hear about and become a Muslim. The mercy of Allah has 100 parts. His mercy that he shows to his creatures, 100 parts. And he has given the entirety of creatures only one part from this 100 mercy. How is the 99 going to be on the day of judgment? Subhanallah. May Allah make us from the people of Al-Jannah. So as merciful as a horse can be to a little one, subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's just a share of one part. So the horse will raise its feet from its hoof, from its little ones, khashiyata an tusiba, out of fear, out of the consciousness not to hurt the little ones. Likewise, mothers. You see, when a mother places the child near her when she sleeps only on one side. Even when she needed to change her side, she will still be managing the child, the side. She will be afraid of turning, not to turn upon her child. This is the same thing. The horse will be careful when it places its feet on the ground, not to march upon its little one. It will be careful not to march upon the little ones. Out of what? Out of mercy for the little ones. When animals show mercy to their little ones, oh brother, oh ummu, abu, why will you not show mercy to your children? Why will you not show mercy to your parents? Why will you not show mercy to your wife? Why will you not show mercy to your husband? Why will you not show mercy to your relatives? It's a very, very big thing. Show mercy. Be merciful. If you are merciful, Allah will be merciful to you. It's a very, very big lesson for all of us. We have to learn to be merciful so that we can receive the mercy of Allah. And we, in all of that, we will all be sharing from the one out of the 100 parts of mercy. So we should not forget that when we show mercy, our desire should be that we want to be able to enjoy the 99 other parts of mercy on the day of Qiyamah that Allah will show to us. May Allah show us His mercy. May Allah make us people who have merciful hearts, who are kind-hearted, who have compassion in their hearts, who have pity in themselves for others. May Allah make it easy for us. He deserves also that apart from learning to be merciful, we should pray to Allah to make us people who are merciful. May Allah make us people who are merciful, merciful to His creatures. People who will be merciful and suitable to receive mercy from Allah. May Allah show His mercy upon us. May Allah forgive us all our sins. Make us better Muslims. And the day that we shall meet Him, may Allah make us meet Him when He is merciful to us. May Allah show us His mercy. Our parents who have passed away, may Allah show mercy upon them. On our land, Nigeria, may Allah show mercy on us. Allah, make us people who show mercy unto ourselves. Our leaders should be merciful to us, and we too shall be merciful to our leaders. When we are merciful to our leaders, the leaders will be merciful to us. When the leaders are merciful to us, we'll be merciful to our leaders. This is what we beg Allah for in our own community. May Allah protect all of us. Make us people who will be merciful to others. I think it will be sufficient that we stop here today regarding these issues of mercy. Bismillah, we'll continue our class tomorrow regarding the next group of people that we should be merciful to. Our neighbors, our jiran, our neighbors, those who live next to us. So if you are merciful to your child, you are merciful to your wife, you are merciful to your mother, how about the next man who sees you every day? When you go out, he sees you. When you come back inside, he sees you. He talks to you. He is there. When he goes out, he leaves his family and you are there at home to the mercy of your hands. So how do we handle the matters regarding our neighbors will be the next group of ahadiths that we shall read, inshallah, from our next class tomorrow. But for today, I think we can stop here so that we can take the rest of the questions we have, especially about being merciful, being compassionate, being kind-hearted to the rest of the human beings. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us people who are merciful to, and that He should be merciful unto us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, ya Shaykhana.
Now,
just want to say, please, how do we discipline our children in such a way that they will make them change?
Well, discipline a child.
How do we discipline them?
Disciplining a child, discipline for children, has to do with what the child is failing in. It depends on what is the child needing, what is it that he has done that requires discipline. Sometimes a single word of the mouth will be useful. In fact, sometimes the discipline will be for you to just ignore the child, behaving as if you did not see the child when he did what he did or when she did what she did. Just ignore it. That may be the discipline, depending on what he has done. And depending on how you as a parent, you have been reacting to what that child was doing. So sometimes it may be merely ignoring. Sometimes it may just be looking at that child in the face. When you look at his face, the child understands what you are saying. That may be the discipline, depending on what that child has done, and depending on how, as a parent, you have been responding towards that child, that particular matter regarding the child. Sometimes it may be a talk. My son, don't do this. Like Luqman to his son. It was from the aspects of discipline. Luqman was telling his son, don't do this. Don't do this, my son. Behave like this. Behave like this. Behave like this. So it is from the aspects of discipline when you say good words to your children regarding something they have done or something that you think that they may fall into. It is from the aspects of discipline. Sometimes the tone may be very friendly. Sometimes the tone may be a middle path between friendliness and little harshness. And sometimes the tone may really be strong. It may be with a strong tone. Why? So that the child may recognize the evil in what he has done. Like that. And sometimes it may require that the child is given some sort of a beating. He may be beaten. He may be flogged. There is nothing in the Sharia that says that the children should not be flogged when they require to be disciplined. We shall come back to a hadith in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, when our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said that when some of the children that were left with her, and we know that Abdullah ibn Zubayr grew up under her, Urwa ibn Zubayr grew up under her, radiallahu anha, and many of the children of Asma, her sister, they grew up in the hands of Aisha, radiallahu anha. She used to beat them. She mentioned it here. She said, Adribuhu, hatta yandasit. I will beat him until in the south. That is, Tiofiro, Ma'alu, Tiofiro. She said so. It's in this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad. And she is the wife of the Messenger,
she would know whether it was lawful to beat a child or not. Then if we go to Sahih al-Bukhari, Al-Imam Ibrahim ibn Yazid al-Nakhri, he said that the early Muslims used to beat them when they swore. Guys, don't be a child all the time. Wallahi, wallahi, wallahi. They used to beat them. So that even when they swear upon something that was right. Why? So that they don't become used to swearing. Wallahi, wallahi. And then they begin to say wallahi over something that was wrong. So Ibrahim al-Nahi was a tabi. He said they used to be beaten if they swore too much, even over something that was correct. So these are asar. There are other asar reports from companions and their students that showed that the early Muslims may beat a person, their children, or the children that are kept in their care when the situation deserves that. But as we have said from the beginning of giving a response to this question, it depends on what that child has done. It will not be from wisdom. What you need to only look at the child in the face and remove your eyes, and then you start beating him over that. That is not from the aspect of wisdom. You'll be putting round pegs in square holes. Likewise, the beating itself, if it has to be done, when it has to be done, it should be appropriate. It should not be with an intention to injure. It should not be with an intention to injure the child, or cause harm to the child. During anger, many of us parents, we go beyond bounds. So, but let us maintain these limits when we remember and recall these matters. So, discipline a child has a long, wide latitude. It involves a lot of things. Just like what the children do too involves a lot of things. But I think what we have said here will be a good guide for us parents, inshallah, for the speaker and the listener. I hope that that question has been addressed, inshallah.
This is a passage on the issue of beating the word when and how, and how it is also a discipline.
I think that was clear in the class. I deliberately paid attention to that. There are certain things a woman would do that it is clearly mentioned, and I mentioned the hadith. I mentioned the verse in the Quran. When a woman becomes a woman who brings people into the house, and she knows that the husband does not like her to bring those people to the house, she may be beaten because of that. The hadith is clear. It's in Sahih Muslim, from the hadith of Jabir ibn Abdullah al-Ansari, from the hadith of Hajj. It is clear that say, fadribuhunna, beat them. It has no ta'wil. There's nothing to say. Fadribuhunna. Fa'in fa'alna, if they do that, beat them. Of course, that will be after a lot of mu'izah. Don't relate with so-so person. Don't bring so-so person to my house. Don't do so-so thing. That will even be connected to chats. Because the way people relate with men these days from their home, it is so alarming. It may not even be with men. It may be with their fellow women. The early Muslims used to prevent their wives from mixing up with women. There are asar regarding these issues. There are reports. They do not used to allow every woman to relate with their wife. So a man can restrict the friend margin, the friend range of his wife. Just like he can restrict those who come to his house. He can also restrict the friend range of his wife. So when a woman says, so-so person should not come to this house again, and the woman continues to allow that kind of a person, after all of these good words have gone and all of this, the man can beat the wife. There's no apology about that. It's a clear cut text in the Quran. A wife is under a man in Islam. There's no apology under that. Allah places the wife under her husband. He is his caretaker. That's why when you want to choose a husband, let your head be correct. Many times a woman is looking for comfort, a man who is rich. You are not looking for a man who is compassionate and kind. Where you will enjoy the rich, but you will suffer unkindness. And then you begin to say you have mental health issues, you have these issues. People begin to say so many things. Don't just look at comfort when you choose a man. Choose a man who is compassionate and who has knowledge and fear of Allah. His knowledge and fear of Allah will guide his compassion when he is relating with you. So, but when it is all about comfort, if I marry, I want a good house, I want a good car, I want it. The one who will be able to provide you compassion may not be able to provide you good car and good house. So choose, prioritize what you want correctly. If you don't set your priorities correctly and you find yourself under the husband who can be described as a lion, then that is your own problem. You don't now start to say you want to change the text of the Quran and the Sunnah because you choose a man for yourself that is not going to be merciful to you. So whose problem is that? It's your own problem. فَلَا تَلُمَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَكَ. So don't blame anybody except yourself. If you had chosen a lion as a husband, you blame yourself. One of the worst things a woman will do is not to carefully choose a husband. Because you are choosing someone in whose hands your affairs will be. Someone who will control the rest of your life. Say, do this, don't do this, do that, don't do that. So when you choose a husband, be reasonable. And parents should not be leaving their children to choose alone because they may not be intelligent enough to know what is absolutely right for them. Their experiences are usually small. Yoruba parents will tell their daughters, go and bring a man. It's like spelling a sheep, go and bring a lion. When you tell a sheep, go and bring a lion. So you may bring the wrong one, most probably. But when you help this child, you guide it, do this, do it like this, because of your experience in life. So that's why a woman cannot marry alone. It has to be with the permission of her wali, her father, or her brother, as the case may be, and the rest of the relatives as we know it. So what I'm sure the person asking, how does a man beat his wife and all of this? It is because people are afraid of worrisome husbands, husbands who have become lions at home. This should not be the case. You chose the man. So if you made the mistake, make sure that your daughter does not make that mistake. You chose comfort. You got comfort. But you have a man with the hearts of lion. Will you now be comfortable? You will not be comfortable. That does not mean when you seek a husband, don't look for comfort too. But set your priorities right. That is what we are saying. So there are clear-cut texts in the Quran and the Sunnah and in the consensus of the scholars of Islam that a man can beat his wife. It's clear-cut. But things will get to that stage. Things will get to that stage. Allah told us in the Quran, Surah Nisa, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ شِقَاقَ بَيْنِهِمَا فَبَعْثُوا Before that, الرِّجَالُ قَوَّامُونَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ بِمَا فَضَّلَ اللَّهُ بَعْضَهُمْ عَلَى وبما أنفقوا من أموالهم الصالحات قانتات حافظات للغيب بما حفظ الله. It says واللائي أو واللاتي تخافون نشوزهن. When a woman becomes nashiza, فاعذوهن. Make good sermon to her. Talk to her well. A woman becomes discordant at home. Talk to her well. Admonish her. فاعذوهن. Good wa'z. وَهَجُرُهُنَّ فِي الْمَضَاجِ. If wives does not make it, leave her, abandon her bed. When you also caution her, you are avoiding her, she's still upon what she is upon. Now you find modern day literarists, most of whom are affected by modern day thoughts from enemies of Islam. Most of them have been taught by Orientalists, non-Muslims who come to learn Islam. So they begin to say, wadribu, daraba yadribu, darban. What does daraba mean? Fadribuhunna is fadribuhunna. Why do you want to twist to harriful kalma and mawdi'i? You want to twist the statement away from its place. Fadribuhunna is fadribuhunna. Beat her. So although the Messenger alayhi salatu wasalam warned us, when you have to beat your wife, don't leave a sign on her, don't leave a mark on her. That's why I call it Dayru Mubarrahin, the one that will not leave marks on her. So don't beat your wife and then you begin to say, oh, marital violence. No, don't do that in such a way that you begin to leave a mark on her. I've heard brothers who beat their wife. She was bleeding, they took her to the hospital. And he now called the parents, go and pick your daughter in the hospital. And that was the end of the divorce. I have heard a case like this. He beat his wife, she was bleeding, he took her to the hospital, left her there, and then called her parents, go and carry your daughter. That was the end of that marriage. This kind of a behavior, don't hide under this verse and say, Quran and Sunnah say you can beat your wife. Quran and Sunnah say don't beat your wife to leave a mark on her. When you have to, mark it, mark the word. When you have to, when the circumstance has to be like that, then do that in a nice manner. Show mercy also. If you have to show mercy to an animal that you are slaughtering, why will you not show mercy to your wife that you want to discipline? So even in your discipline, be merciful. Don't injure her. Don't cause harm to her. Don't assault her. And all of these. These are the limits that the Sharia has set regarding this matter. It's not an open matter to say, Sharia talks, say we go feed it on her. No. Yes, you can. But it has limits. And it must not leave evil marks on her and all of these, as we have explained. But that itself will come after a lot of talking to. In fact, after is some sort of shunning and avoidance before it comes to the issue of. Likewise also, the face must not be touched or neared. The face must not be touched. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prohibited beating someone in the face. Even animals, you don't beat an animal in the face in Sharia. It's from Kabira, from the Kabira amongst Kabair. It's a Kabira amongst the Kabair. The major thing to beat an animal in the face. Al-Imam Ibn Hajar al-Asqalani rahimahullah, he has an entire book on this. The prohibition of beating an animal in the face. So how about a human being? So don't tell your wife, don't tell that to your wife. And then you baloju truly, you slap her too. Don't do all of this. Don't do all of this. Maintain the limits that Allah has stated. وَتِلْكَ حُدُودُ اللَّهِ. These are the limits of Allah. وَمَنْ يَتَعَدَّ حُدُودَ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ظَلَمَ نَفْسَهُ. The one who exceeds bounds regarding the limits of Allah is just unfair to himself. May Allah protect us. I hope that this matter has been explained. But there's a second aspect of the question. Let me answer. If the hospice will stop there, inshallah. How does a woman discipline her husband? It's just like asking, how does a child discipline his parent? How does a child discipline the parent? When you ask this question, how does a child discipline the parent? What do you say? So there is nothing other than good admonition and looking for someone who will help you address the matter. You see now, how does a wife discipline her husband? Equate it with how does a child discipline his parents or her parents. You see it now? So because the husband to the woman is in the status like a parent in terms of rights, Aisha radiallahu anha asks the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who has the greatest right over a woman? Said, her husband. So regarding a married woman, her husband has the greatest right over her. So regarding a child who is not married, a woman is not married, her parents have the greatest right over her. Regarding a man, whether married or not, his mother has the greatest right over him. So it is shared. A married woman has her husband over her. And a married man has his mother. That's a woman. So don't say, oh, why is it looking like only a woman can be submissive to a man? The man, whether married or unmarried, is also placed under his mother, and his mother is a woman. So in this case, how do you handle your mother when she behaves in such a way that you don't like? Of course, a lot of patience, a lot of dua. If you can find your aunt to talk to your mom, you discuss with your aunt or your uncle. This is the kind of way a woman will handle the husband when he becomes discordant And then when the matters become so unbearable, she can approach the court. She can go to court. A woman can go to the Sharia court to seek either separation of or some sort of justice when it has to be like that. So I hope that this matter is clear. I have answered how does a man handle discipline his wife, and I have also answered how does a woman handle disciplining her husband. In all of it, mercy should not be left out. Ar-Rahmatu should not be left out. Because the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yarhamullahu man la yarhamun nas. Allah would not show mercy to an individual who is not merciful to the rest of the people. I think that we can stop here today, inshallah. Ameen wa antum fajazakumullahu khairan. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.